Welcome back, everyone, to the Grogan and Brogan podcast. Sorry for any inconveniences last week. We missed out. I have to apologize to all the fans. I know you're expecting the podcast, but we'll try and make up for it. Sadly, Brogan was sick, and I was watching a crackhead with a voice of an angel sing in Vicar Street. Oh, no. Was it Vicar Street? No, it's the... Yeah, it was Vicar Street. But yeah, welcome back. Anything to say, Brogan?
Yeah, it's good to be back. Again, I really missed last week's episode. But we're back, and I think it's worth mentioning as well that I think in episode 2, we said that it was incredible that we had 22 plays on our podcast from episode 1. And it's incredible to think that we have now got 121 plays on episode 3. So we'd really just like to thank all the support we've gotten, and we hope we can keep this going as long as we can. We can grow it as much as we can in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Also, big shout out to Sean Higgins. He's been asking every day since last Friday, where's the new podcast? So massive respect for trying to push us on to get content out.
Yeah, a lot of people have. And I'm going to reveal now, not too much information. Potentially have a guest coming up in the future.
Potentially. We're not going to... It's in the works at the minute.
In the works. We'll see. It's in the pipeline, is what we're trying to say. So I'm very excited for that. That'll be good. And I think a lot of people who listen to the podcast will really enjoy who it is. If they come on.
Hopefully. It's a big if, but I have a good feeling about it.
Yeah. So anyway, this week on the podcast, we're gonna talk about some hot topics of right now. One being
full pun intended.
One being climate change. Global warming and the boys, you know yourself. Yeah. Big bag of global warming with the lads. As well, we're gonna hopefully touch on the recent Michael Jackson documentary. I know we're like a week late to that because we didn't record last week. Probably would have been better. And as well, maybe a bit of Madeleine McCann in there as well, because that documentary came out.
Yeah. Firstly, I just wanted to touch on the incident that happened in New Zealand only a few days ago. It's really like disturbing to think that in this day and age that can actually happen, like in a matter of seconds. Especially like I have to say I don't have anything against the Muslim community, and I know that a lot of people are attacking the Muslim community. I know they do commit a lot of attacks, but it's not actually the Muslim community itself. It's a very like small, fine minority of like a branch out from like being a Muslim, like ISIS and all that. But yeah, I don't think this Muslim community should be getting attacked as much as it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. And it's kind of ironic that the people who attack the Muslim community because they attack us, like, even if that was true, obviously the whole of the Muslim community doesn't attack everyone else. It's a very, very, very small part of people that don't even associate, like, your average Muslim won't associate with an extremist who are committing these attacks. So it's kind of, in my eyes, it's not even a Muslim, it's an extremist, it's a terrorist. And then to respond to that, someone like this goes in and shoots 50 of them. Like, what difference does that make? Like, if they're so bad because they do all these attacks, why are you doing the attacks yourself? Like, why are, like, you're doing something that they've done? It's just totally hypocritical, in my opinion.
Yeah. The part that shocked me was, I seen the video, I mean, Dash showed it to me, he found it. The part that shocked me was that after he went in and shut the place up, he walked back out to his car and got into it like nothing has happened. That's the part that kind of like scared me a little bit.
Yeah, and he was like cracking jokes and stuff. It's just really disturbing. Like,
oh, actually, and also, he said in the video of subscribe to PewDiePie, and PewDiePie has actually been getting a lot of backlash over where I don't think he should be getting any backlash whatsoever because he doesn't associate or recognize himself with any sort of group whatsoever, or he obviously he jokes about a lot of stuff and he's had one or a few incidents, but he never associates himself or never said go out and do this or go out and do that, and he is getting a lot of backlash for no reason whatsoever, and I don't think he deserves that.
Yeah, I think whatever your opinion is on him, on PewDiePie, I definitely he had no involvement. Like, if someone walked into a mosque and shot up 50 people and was like, subscribe to the Grogan Unbroken podcast, like, how does that make us guilty in any way? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So, it is very unfair to be pinning any part of the blame on him.
Yeah, I do feel really bad for him. But I think a lot of people, well, people with half a brain, or either, even a lot of his viewers realise that he doesn't associate with anything like that, and that they are backing him up because he doesn't deserve backlash for something that he never prescribed to or, like, doing anything towards.
Yeah. Actually, that's another thing I just thought of. Did you see the video of, like, I suppose it kind of ties in a little bit, but it was like, it was a video of like a young man, and he's walking into a public area. I don't know what it was. It might have been a college. It might have been a restaurant or something. I don't know what it was, but he walked in and he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, obviously the Donald Trump slogan. And a crowd of I don't know how you'd put it, people who don't really associate with Donald Trump, put it that way, came up to him and was like, you have to leave. Like, you're not allowed to be here, like, because of his hat. This man who was wearing the hat was like, he wasn't making a scene. He didn't say anything. He wasn't going around trying to belittle other people. He literally just walked into this place and this group of people came up and told him to leave because he was wearing the hat. Now, as much as I don't really agree with Donald Trump, I believe everyone has a right to their own opinion, and that no matter what the opinion is, everyone, you can have an opinion. I don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with my opinion. That's fine. But and then secondly, like, he was doing no harm, so why should he have to leave because of a political belief or a, like, whether it was a religious belief or a political belief or any sort of belief? He shouldn't have to, he shouldn't be barred from certain areas just because he has that belief. Like, it was very unfair from, I presume, the Donald Trump protesters, I guess, to this poor man who's just trying to mind his own business. Now, I'm sure it'll come out that this man was actually verbally abusing everyone on the video, didn't tell the whole story, blah, 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 blah. But from the video that I've seen, it seems like he's doing no harm and this group just told him to leave simply because he was wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah. Like, it's one of the amendments is freedom of speech, and an aspect of freedom of speech is almost like, for instance, him wearing that MAGA hat is, like, almost in an aspect, it is freedom of speech. Like, he's wearing what he wants to wear. He could have just wore it because he wanted to wear the hat. It doesn't exactly mean he prescribes to Donald Trump. As you said, there could be a second side of the story. He could have been verbally abusing people, and then obviously it's acceptable then to ask, could he leave? But if he wasn't, and the protesters did that, then I don't know. It's politics at the minute, especially in America, is really fucked.
Yeah,
really high tension as well, because in Ireland, I know politics is like, we're only a small country, we don't hold as much power as the USA, but politics here isn't as high tension. Like, you barely ever hear people actually having major political debates, other than when it comes to stuff like when they tried to bring in the water charges and stuff like that. Then people kind of got an uproar about it. I think in America, it's just really fucked up at the minute with politics. I think it's really high tension. Like, I understand that Ireland's, like, here in Ireland, we're only a small country and we don't hold as much power as the USA do, but at least here we can kind of have a political debate and be civil about it, whereas in America, and also with France, for example, I know I was kind of steering off topic here, but like, the French president or prime minister, I'm not too sure, he tried to hire taxes, I think it was. France have been rioting for like they've been rioting like for a month straight, and I mean like proper rioting.
Yeah, the yellow vests, we were learning about it in French,
But going back to America here, I think that any slight of the smallest what's the word I'm looking for? Like trouble or anything that will impact anything, or anyone even has an opinion, you're not allowed to have an opinion for some reason, because you're instantly shot down as wrong, because you're either designated to the left wing or right wing, and because you're on the other wing, you are wrong. Like, they can't have a proper debate about it. It's more of a screaming match.
You see, that is the issue with a two-party system that they have in America. You're either Democrat or Republican, and there's really not much in between. It's you have to pick one. Like, it was Hillary or Trump, Hillary or Trump, and if you didn't agree with both sides, which I guess, like, I didn't really get involved in the presidential election, I didn't really care at the time, but to me it seemed like neither were that great a choice, and like, it, that is a problem when you have literally, it's gonna be one or the other. It's gonna cause problems, and there's people who are like so dedicated to one side or the other that they won't listen to the other side, and they'll just scream at them and tell them they're wrong, and which is also ironic, seen as I think it's the First Amendment, correct me if I'm wrong there, First Amendment, literally freedom of speech, and people aren't allowing each other the freedom of speech.
Yeah, so it's really ironic.
This amendment that they love so much is not being granted by each other. Like, it's odd.
Yeah. I didn't really get too much into the presidential election. Like, I kind of kept up with it a little bit. But, like, from my point of view, if I could have voted, I don't think I would have voted. Because they were both as bad as each other. Trump, obviously, you could almost do a whole podcast on the things he's done wrong. But with Hillary, like, when it came to deleting all the emails and other shady stuff, like, if anything, I would have thought that Bernie Sanders would have been up there. He seemed like probably the only solid candidate, but it didn't turn out that way.
Even then, I'm not too sure of what actually happened, but I've heard like bad things even about Bernie Sanders. Like, every presidential candidate, from what I saw, wasn't a great choice. When is a president or a prime minister, or in here the Taoiseach, no one's ever perfect, right? Like, they're always gonna make mistakes.
Come on, Mikey D.
Yeah, but Mikey D doesn't do anything. Like, the easiest job in the world is to be the president of Ireland.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. Why the Taoiseach holds more power than the president? The president is more just a cultural figure, if anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand why it works that way here in Ireland, but sure, look.
Yeah, but obviously we all love Michael D. Higgins, right? It's
the legend.
Whatever. Like, I haven't heard a single person say a single bad thing about him. But he doesn't hold any power, so like, it's not like anyone can hate him on anything specific.
Yeah, true. Just quick question.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think that they'll ever clamp down on guns in America?
Oh, I don't know. Not with Trump in charge anyway.
See, like, also, sorry, going back to the previous point, I can understand why a lot of people voted for Trump, because...
Yeah, same. I can.
Yeah, he's a major dickhead, and that he's just not an all-around good person, but he is a good businessman.
Yeah, like, if you actually look at the stats of his presidency, unemployment rates haven't been lower since the 50s or something, since like the boom.
At the end of the day, a country more or less is a really big business, like when it comes to handling money and everything, so I can understand in that aspect why he was elected. Like gun laws was, I think, like, it's getting to the stage where I know it's like, being real patriotic, and it's like, it's in our amendment, it's one of the amendments that to be allowed to carry guns and firearms and all that jazz, but like, come on now, it needs to get to a point where you just need to clamp down, because the amount of school shootings, or just shootings in general, you see something in the papers, like, even here in Ireland, you'll see it's every single day. I don't know how they've let it get to this stage and not clamp down on it as hard as they're doing. I think they're being very lenient about it, if anything.
Like, I in a certain way, I do understand let's say a handgun or a pistol.
Yeah, that's self-defense. I can understand.
That. You want to feel safe at home.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crime. Well, I don't know what the exact rates are. I could be wrong about that. But it seems, I suppose Hollywood makes it look like there's a lot of crime out there in America. You want to protect yourself. You want to have a gun. But why in God's name do you need a submachine gun?
Yeah.
Why can you buy that? Like, actually, that's another thing about the thing in New Zealand. The Prime Minister came out and said, right, that type of gun and any other submachine gun, illegal. You can't buy it anymore.
It took them, I think it was 72 hours for that law to come in. 72 hours. One incident and it took them 72 hours. But yeah, there is hundreds and hundreds of school shootings, just massacres in general in America, and nothing happens.
It's ridiculous. Like, name me, in the last 18 years of your life, yeah, how many school shootings have you witnessed in Ireland? How many school shootings have you heard in Ireland?
Zero.
Because very, very few people have guns.
The Garda don't even have guns. Like the special
we have about 15 armed Garda units.
But Garda in general don't have guns. They have pepper spray in the block.
It's ridiculous to think that there's no excuse for me to say why someone needs anything more than a handgun. Okay, this is gonna sound pretty weird, just smack in the middle of a podcast, but we've just been hit with some technical difficulties. My Wi-Fi decided to yeet itself. But it's back, and I think we're good. We tried to record on my 4G, but I live in the middle of nowhere, so that wasn't ever really going to work. But we're back now. Craig can actually hear what I'm saying. I can hear what Craig's saying. Life's good.
Jump back into it.
Yeah, jump back in. Well, not exactly back into it, what we were talking about. We'll move on to the kind of main topic of the podcast that we wanted to talk about, because it is very prevalent at the minute. With last Friday's strikes, I think they were worldwide. Were they?
I'm not too sure.
It was in Dublin anyway. There was one in Dublin. A lot of the students, particularly in our school, went into town, voiced their frustration with the Irish government, and it was worldwide, because it was a Swedish girl, I think, who organized this. So it was a lot of students around Europe went into town, voiced their frustration with governments that they're not doing enough to help Ireland, and I'd agree with them for one.
I do think that global warming and climate change is a massive, massive problem, but I think a lot of people are ignorant towards it, because not many, it's more of a over time effect than like an instant impact. And especially in Ireland, we haven't really seen much change, other than it being really hot in the summer and then it snowed in random times. But
yeah, like it's slow
when you look at places,
like it snowed in March last year, like that's just weird.
Yeah, especially in Ireland too, because other than like, I know the past year or two it's been snowing, but other than that, like, there was a big gap. I think 2010 was the last time it snowed really heavy, before, I think, about maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that was dead-ass winter.
Yeah, no. But, like, I think in Ireland people are really ignorant, because there's not much impact and not a lot of people can actually see a change. But when you look at places like California, there's actual, like, forest fires. Like, hundreds of thousands of houses are, like, being burnt down. And that's not normal. I think also if you're a climate change or even global warming denier, you'd want to cop on. Like, the facts are there. It's almost as bad as saying that the earth's flat. Like, the facts are undeniably there to be seen. The polar ice caps are melting. There's forest fires in California. Or it's snowing in random bleeding places in Ireland for no reason at all.
Mm.
We actually get good weather in the summer, which is unlike us. But the facts are there, but people are kind of like turning a blind eye towards it, which I don't think they should. I think also it's the older generation more than anything, because I know our generation are trying to make a difference on, for instance, going on that strike, to put it out there that we are young, yes, but we do want to make a change, because in a few years we're going to have to live with the consequences of the older generation.
Yeah, and I had my notes on this. I did a bit of research on it, but because my computer was having an absolute meltdown, I had to restart it and it didn't save the notes, so I lost them all. But I did see a graph that was like the CO2 levels in our atmosphere over the last like 100,000 years or something. I don't know how they got levels from 100,000 years ago, but apparently they did. I don't know the source, so I don't know if it's legit, but what it was saying is that in the last 100,000 years, the level of CO2 never went above, I think it was 300 parts per million, like parts, yeah. CO2 per million parts in the atmosphere. And
yeah.
In 1950, the start of the Industrial Revolution. Well, not really the start, kind of. I suppose when kind of everything was booming, the industrial work was booming, it skyrocketed to over 400 parts. Like, from being in and around 200 to doubling the amount. And that was 70 years ago, nearly. And we've only grown and grown and grown and grown since then. So God knows what it's at now.
The solutions are there. It's just that people, like, the countries are kind of lazy towards changing from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Like, China are the biggest emitter, CO2 emitters. Mm. But at the same time, out of all the countries, they've probably invested the most in, like, solar energy and wind energy and everything. So they're accepting and acknowledging that they are the big hitters of CO2 and that they're up there, but they're actually trying to make a difference and cut back on it. But whereas with America, they probably speak out the most on climate change and global warming, but yet they probably do the least in actually trying to cut back on stuff.
Yeah.
Which confuses me a little bit.
It is weird. And yeah, that's a good point about China. China's such a weird country because, like, obviously a communist nation for a very long time. I'm not sure if they still are a communist nation, but they definitely were for a long time. So, like, even in, like, as late as, like, the 70s and the 80s, they were incredibly poor and not much infrastructure. And from then until now, they're literally one of the biggest economies in the world, and they have such a rapid growth of, like, they went through about 3 revolutions in the space of like 40 years, which is incredible. Like, they had massive buildings now, massive cities, like cities that are 3-4 times the size of the population of Ireland. Like, it's incredible what China have done. And obviously, like, everything you own has a Made in China sticker on it, which is not great. But as you said, they are focusing more on like, kind of more investing in more eco-friendly ways to do what they're doing.
Yeah, I think we do have to change over to renewable energy. I can understand where people come from. Like, it's like with windmills, it's a bit of an eyesore. Yeah, it's a bit of an eyesore.
So what?
In the future, it's going to help massively. It's better than the temperatures rising how many degrees, and then the place everywhere is going on fire. Like, I would gladly have a few windmills in a vacant space down the road or something.
No, what were you saying?
Like, there's somewhere in Germany, I can't quite remember. I think it may be Hamburg or something. But almost every house there has solar panels on its roof. And in the morning, I think it is, it produces 10% of Germany's power. Which is just crazy for such a small city to produce that amount of power from just having solar panels on the house.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it shows. Like, simple things like that can actually make a difference. So I personally think when new houses are being built, or even existing houses now, people should be even given a grant to get solar panels.
I think they are. There's solar panels on my house, I have solar panels on my roof.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure if we actually got a grant, but there was definitely the availability of a grant.
Yeah. Like, Dottie's dad, Frank, he has solar panels on his roof. He's the only man in, like, all of Ballymun, I think, that has solar panels. For, like, such a populated place, I think if they were giving out grants, or even if they put it out there, because I don't think many people actually know there is grants for stuff like that. I think if they put it out there and give people grants, like, over time, it will make a big difference. Like, something so simple as putting solar panels on your roof.
Yeah. And
it's going to cut back immensely.
Yeah, and what you were mentioning earlier about, what was it, the windmills, it doesn't, like, they're not fucking putting pyramids, or they're not putting fucking windmills on the pyramids of Giza, right? They're in fields, like, there's nothing to look at, they're not eyesores. Like, even if they were, they don't look that ugly. Like, get over it.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus, it actually gets me angry. Like, the people who are, like, more willing to put, like, stuff like, oh, they're an eyesore. So what? Like, do you really care that much about your view that you will risk the future of your children and your children's children and your children's children's children just so you can look at some nice little green hills for a while?
Yeah. Like, I do get frustrated too, because the solutions are there, but people just aren't arsed to do it. And not even people, it's more or less the government too. I think if the government's pushed things, like, if they put in more windmills down, and like there's loads of spots down the country where there's just fields and fields of nothing. There's no even farting, like there's no crops or anything in the fields. It's just green grass. Why can't you go and put windmills down there? Like nobody, it's in the crack ass of nowhere. It's going to make no difference. It's not an eyesore for anyone, and if anything, it's just a positive. You're given it's free energy. Why wouldn't you do that? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like I've just googled it here. Germany are number one in wind power. As you were saying, like Hamburg, I don't know if it is Hamburg, but whatever country or whatever city that is, they make like a serious, like what was it? This thing here I'm reading. The giant of Europe's wind industry, Germany, installed more than 6.5 gigawatts of capacity in 2017, a 15% increase compared to the previous year. This accounted for 42% of the total EU installations last year. Like they,
that's crazy.
Germany alone put in 42% of what the whole of Europe put in. It's ridiculous, like.
I think the European Union, not even the European Union, just the countries in general have to come together. And I know, like, at the Paris Agreement and everything, but they need to hit the goals that they agreed to hit.
Mm.
Because they will make a difference. And if we don't, it's just going to cause more trouble for generations ahead.
Yeah, it's silly. And as I was just researching the other day, it's not only affecting us, it's affecting wildlife too. Like,
yeah.
I'm reading just here on the WWF website, it says global warming is likely to be the greatest cause of species extinctions this century. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that a 1.5 degree average rise may put 20-30% of species at risk of extinction. If the planet warms Jesus by Christ. More than 2% or 2 degrees Celsius, most ecosystems will struggle. Like, let me just list some of the animals. Tigers, gone. Snow leopards, gone. Asian rhinos, orangutans, African elephants, polar bears, Adélie penguins, Arctic puffins. Like, the fucking list goes on and on. It's ridiculous. And, like, the people who are like, yeah, oh, well, the world hasn't gone through a period of global warming. It's actually gone through a period of global cooling. I think,
it has in a sense.
I can't believe that fully, but maybe on overall, it has gone through a period of global cooling. But the places where it's cooling, it shouldn't be cooling. And the places where it's warming, it shouldn't be warming. Like,
exactly.
It's so annoying. Like, it's obvious. Like, was it Greenland has lost 20 meters in the last 10 years or something of height because it has just melted. It is so much lower. It just, like, how can you not see that and go, well, there's something wrong here?
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to go, this is what it used to look like, this is what it looks like now. There's a total and clear difference.
Yeah, true. Like, in the documentary that we were watching last week, what was it called? After the Flood?
Before the Flood or After the Flood?
Before the Flood, I'm not too sure. But, like, with the polar ice caps melting, Florida is feeling it majorly. Was it Florida? Yeah. They've had to raise all the, like, pavements and houses along the coast, like 5 or 10 meters, and have to push everything back because they're getting like midday floods. Oh no, it was sunny floods. I can't quite remember. But like, it'll be grand, like middle of the day, 40 degrees, beautiful weather. And then just water just starts rising in the middle of the street.
Yeah, like it comes out the drain pipes and all.
Like, within a few years, if the polar ice caps keep melting, a lot of Florida is going to be submerged underwater. Like, that's crazy.
It's just crazy how people still deny it when, like, the signs, there's not much more obvious in the world.
Yeah, people are just very ignorant towards stuff that
Like, people deadass believe that the world is flat, but not believe that the ice caps are melting.
Flat Earth, like, it's funny as a meme and everything, but, like, if you genuinely believe in Flat Earth, you're actual dumbass.
Hot take.
No, not even a hot take. That's just a straight fact.
That's
a cold
take. That's freezing.
Like, I'm not getting into Flat Earth now. No. That's another podcast.
We can't. That's the conspiracy theory one.
Yeah.
So what are we on? How are we doing?
The next thing that I want to talk about was the Madeleine McCann documentary.
Yeah.
I personally haven't watched it. My sister watched a little bit, and from when the incident happened and then, like, other things you've heard and seen, I personally think that the parents are guilty. I don't know what your opinion is.
Obviously I can't say for sure. Yeah. But my gut instinct tells me that the parents were involved.
It's the way they go about it. And the way it's not certain. Like, everything's kind of smoke and mirrors. Like, it's... there's no solid evidence, and from what I've heard, one of the investigators or translators, I'm not too sure, he was, like, found guilty for something else, and everything just seems a little corrupt. But the thing that kind of makes me feel like they were guilty is they've dragged it along for so long, and it's an odd fact that they've made so much money from this. And from my point of view, and I'm not a parent or anything, but if I lost my child, I wouldn't be, like, going around smiling about it while, like, talking about it on interviews and everything. I'd be severely distraught, even though it happened so long ago. I'd still be hurt about it, but Kate and, I forget the dad's name.
Jerry,
yeah. I don't know, it's the way they carry themselves when they talk about it. They're always smiling, and I don't know, it doesn't click with me. I feel like I'd be distraught about it, even though it happened so long ago.
I haven't seen interviews, like, live or anything, but I've seen, like, posts on Facebook being like, oh, this is what a real family looks like who lost their child. This is what Kate and Jerry McCann look like. And it was just screenshots of, like, them smiling. And it's like, just because you...
they can be taken out of context.
Exactly. Just because you lose your child doesn't mean you can never smile ever again. Like,
yeah, totally.
You're gonna smile. Like, as much as it must be awful to lose your kid, like, 1 or 2 years later, you're gonna smile. Like, that's just it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have to watch the interviews and stuff. And a lot of interesting, I don't know if you've seen the Twitter threads and stuff like that of all the evidence. I know I had an argument with someone, or not an argument, kind of a discussion, I guess, with someone over them. She was like, you can't really take them as, like, fact or whatever, which I suppose is fair, but, like, they did have sources, and there was, like, things that backed it up. And it's just, like, there's too many anomalies in the story.
Yeah.
Like, too many coincidences. Like, I don't know. It's just, it seems to me, like, nothing's that straight. And the person who was having the argument with made a good point of like, yeah, but if they are innocent and all this media scrutiny is on them and everyone's, like, going mad at them for something that they haven't done, that must feel so awful. Like, that must be the worst feeling in the world if they are innocent. But personally, just my opinion, obviously innocent until proven guilty, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But just my opinion says they're innocent or they're guilty.
Yeah, my gut tells me that they're guilty. Like, I don't understand why you'd go off and leave your child unattended at such a young age to go was it for dinner or for drinks or something?
It was, yeah, but tapas bar. Like,
to leave a child that age just in a room on her own, like in a foreign country, I don't know anyone who would do that.
Yeah, it's... See, that I don't have much of a problem with, because if the child wasn't taken, then it's like, oh, well, then not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. It's just because the child is taken. And I'm sure countless other parents have done it, and it was fine. I suppose just a bit of negligence, I suppose, but it's just everything else, like, they didn't call the police for ages. The police took ages to get here. Like anything could have happened in that time. And then there was the story of, like, one of the people at the table went up to go check on the children. He saw the two twins, but he says, I don't recall seeing Madeline, even though the bed was, like, right in front of the door. And to see the two twins, you would have had to have seen Madeline. So a lot of it doesn't make sense to me.
I don't have a lot of information on it, but from what I know, this is my theory. I think that they probably gave her too much high of a dose of, I think it was, I'm not quite sure. I think it was not Calpol. It was something to make her sleep, but I think they gave her too much high of a dose of it, and she died from that dose, or even she went into
like a coma or something. Some kind of, like,
yeah, and they panicked in the moment and thought, fuck, we need to do something about this. That's that's my opinion on it. As I said, I don't really have a lot of information, so I could be just talking absolute shit.
It is tough to comment on something like that, well, like what we think happened when we don't actually know. But I did see a theory that was like they had dinner with a famous chef, I think it was, who was a known paedophile before and after the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. And there was all this to do with the Podesta brothers and all, who were something to do with Hillary's team at the time, Hillary Clinton's team at the time. It was just this big thing that, like, when that basically said the McCanns sold their daughter to a paedophile ring.
That was a hot topic that I brought up, remember, a few days ago.
What was it?
Now, this is probably the hottest topic you'll ever hear in your life. But I remember saying to you a few days ago, what if Jerry and Kate sold Madeline to a paedophile, a child sex, what's it, sorry, a child sex ring?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow that circulated into R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember it was like,
I don't know where I was going with it.
And then the paedophile ring sold McCann to R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think I'm banging the head with
it. I mean, apart from the fact that all the the people who have said they're abused by Michael Jackson were literally before Madeleine McCann was born. But yeah, we'll go with that.
You know, a few loopholes.
We're still working out the kinks on that one.
Yeah. I think I got a solid theory.
Next week, conspiracy theory episode. Week after that, our special guest.
Hopefully.
Okay. Hopefully. Grant, right.
How are we looking on time?
I don't know. How are we on time? 37, so that's about...
And plus 20...
Give or take an hour. I'd say we have a few more minutes, because we did miss last week, so we have to give the boys a little bit extra.
Yeah.
As our biggest fan, Sean Higgins, wants. He wanted a 4-hour special today, but that's not happening.
And a double upload.
And a double upload, yeah. He's like, yeah, just do a 4-hour one, split it in two and upload twice and call it a double upload. It's like, no.
Yeah. Expected a bit much from us, but...
Yeah, well, we'd... I mean, maybe for our 1,000,000th play. How about that? We'll do a 4-hour episode for our 1,000,000th play.
4-hour live episode.
Live episode, yes. With Sean. There you go. Yeah. You've heard it here first, Sean. Get in touch with us. Keep an eye. Promote it everywhere so you get that 1,000,000 plays.
I think we should go on to the usual for the finish ball.
17 minutes since we started again. That's not so bad.
What was our other one as
well? Well, when I stopped recording, it was half an hour, but we took a while. Like, there was a lot of silence.
I think it was about like 20 minutes when we stopped talking. Aye, and then sure. I kept recording for the 10.
Yeah, we have loads of time. Anyway. Anything else you want to add, or we move on?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Nothing I can think of at the minute.
Okay, nah, we're all good. So we move on to, I guess, Michael Jackson. Did you watch the documentary?
I haven't watched it, but I've kind of read a lot of...
Creepy, to say the least.
Yeah, I didn't watch the documentary. My ma watched it and she stopped halfway through because she said she kind of got a little bit disturbed of how into detail the victims went.
Yeah.
Into it. But I kind of read up about it and in my opinion, I think he was a child molester. Just from some of the interviews you've seen and stories you've heard, yeah, in my opinion, I think he was a molester.
I think he was too. But it is, as I was saying, like, some of the stuff you're like, fucking hell. Like, you almost,
like,
you don't want to believe it.
Yeah, like, as a 40-year-old man, like, I seen an interview and it was him and I think he was about 12 or something. And he was like, Michael said that if I really loved him, then he'd sleep in the bed with me. Oh, I'd sleep in his bed with him. And then the interviewer asked him, he was like, Michael, as a 40, whatever year old man, what do you actually get out of a young child sleeping in your bed? And I think he responded with, like, the most loving and caring thing you can do as a human is share a bed with someone. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, come on. I can understand it that you had, like, you were, like, a child at heart and stuff, but you gotta kind of look at it as from a logical point of view and think, yeah, that's fishy, dog.
He did have a very rough childhood. This is absolutely in no way an excuse for what he did. If he did it, obviously, we can't really get evidence now. She's dead, I suppose. But if he did do it, you can kind of, well, no, you can't understand. But like he had a very difficult childhood, and I'm sure that fucks you up as a person. Yeah. If you had the kind of childhood, you had a. I believe he had an abusive father. And yeah, also, he was practically a child slave. Like, with the Jackson 5, he was the only really talented... Well, that's a bit harsh on the Jackson 5. But he was the star attraction of the Jackson 5, was him. So, he didn't get a childhood, so he spent his adulthood having a childhood.
Yeah, I do think that a lot of famous child actors tend to be kind of fucked up.
Because
as a child, I do think that you should probably be out playing and shit other than sitting in a trailer waiting for your next scene to come on.
Yeah, literally.
I don't think you should spend your childhood like that. So I can understand that maybe he was a little bit messed up in the head because of his childhood that he had. It was rough.
Like, even when you look at one of the victims, or, well, alleged victims, was Macaulay Culkin. Now, Macaulay Culkin claims he did sleep in a bed with Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson never touched him sexually, never anything like that, never molested him, blah, blah, blah. But Macaulay Culkin, like, he was a, I believe he was a heroin addict or something. He hit the drugs anyway, I think. But, like, another child actor, like, it seems to be very dangerous to get your child into that.
Yeah. See, as well, like, as you said, alleged, I can look at it as, at the point of view where there's two sides to it. Maybe they were victims, but at the same time, you kind of see a trend of when a celebrity dies, a lot of people come out and then talk about it, which I can understand because the celebrity does hold a lot of power, and that maybe if you spoke out about it while they were alive, they could more or less ruin your life. So I can understand why a lot of people don't come out and talk about it. But then sometimes I do think some people come out and make stuff up because they know they can get some money in the back pocket for it. Do you understand?
It is a rough one. And it is kind of worth bearing in mind as well. Like, all these cases, they went to court and Michael Jackson was found not guilty of all of them.
Yeah.
I think it was 12 counts or something. He was found not guilty of them all. Now, obviously, I've already said I believe he actually was guilty. But in officially, he is innocent.
It's an iffy one.
Go on.
Go on.
No, what were you saying?
In my opinion, I do think he was. But as you said, he wasn't proven to be guilty. So you can't really say that he was. It's an odd one.
And then it also begs the question, like, I know you said it's hard to come out, but, like, two of the most famous ones were Macaulay Culkin, as I already mentioned, and Brett Barnes, and both of them have, it's not even like they refused to speak about it, it was just they've straight up continuously just gone, nope, didn't touch me, didn't happen. And it makes you wonder why? And I mean, I know it must be hard, but I suppose it's almost impossible to understand what it's like to be in that situation. But for me personally, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't, especially now, especially like he's dead, he can't hurt me anymore, he can't hurt my family. If that happened to me, I suppose it's easy for me to say, but I'd come out and I'd 100%, like, that's not an excusable thing, no matter how much you love them. And if you watch the documentary, they both tell you how much they loved Michael and how much Michael loved him, how it loved them too. It was based on two guys. And, even then, like, you must be so scared if you're hiding something like that. But if you're not hiding something like that and you're genuinely telling the truth, then you have to wonder, are the others telling the truth or are they lying? Like, did Michael only molest some children? Did, like, so many questions that this documentary raises, and it just does make you think, and we'll probably never get an answer.
It does raise a lot of questions that maybe we'll never find out, which also ties in with...
For a bit of ball. For anyone who doesn't like football, you can just turn it off now. We've already got your play. We don't need you anymore.
Champions League draw, thoughts.
Champions League draw, thoughts. FC Porto!
They're gonna get trashed.
I'm a massive FC Porto fan. And all of their history. Go on, test me on any FC Porto knowledge. Any.
What year did Deco play for them?
2007.
I don't know.
That could be bang on. I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah, probably is.
I'm going to have to Google that. Deco. Deco Wikipedia. Porto. 2004. He played for Barca in 2007. To be fair, he played for Porto more than he played for any other club.
Yeah, he played there for a long old time with them.
Yeah, he played 99 to 2004. Jesus.
Yeah, I think Liverpool's just going to give Porto a thrashing.
I sadly do too. But I have faith in my beloved FC Porto.
I can respect that. Other than that, I think Barca, I think Lionel Messi's just going to make a show of the United defence.
Again, sadly, I agree with you.
Who else? Juve, Ajax. I'm rooting for Ajax. So
I'm going to say that's going to be an absolute madness of a game, and over the two legs, it's going to finish like 6-5.
I think if you're going to watch any game, that's the game to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. It's such an interesting matchup.
Ajax have been very exciting this season. In the Champions League this year. As usual, Juventus are strong, and probably as strong as ever, with Ronaldo at top now at the minute. You know his goal scoring record in the Champions League. It's probably the best. But I think out of all the games, I think that could be the upset. I think I just have this slight feeling that Ajax can pull one off. I think they'll win at home. It'll be tough away.
Mm.
But I don't know. I just think they could, that will be the upset.
Mm. I think so. I think so too.
City and Spurs.
Here's my top tip for people, right? Put a fiver on Ajax to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Ooh,
five run. Really? Yeah, what odds are you getting on that? Hang on, I'm gonna have to Google this again. Ajax to win the Champions League.
If Ajax win, they get City or Spurs, is it? I think it is, yeah. Oh, Man City Ajax, that'd be a good old game. Jesus. I think City...
Current odds, 25 to 1.
25 to 1 to win now?
Yeah. So that's 125 quid in your back pocket if you bang a fiver on and they win.
It's not bad for a fiver.
Their pre-tournament odds were 250 to 1.
Jesus.
And if you bung a fiver on them, you'd be a grand and a quarter up.
It's not too bad. Bit of pocket change.
Bit of pocket change. They're not even winning the Eredivisie this year.
PSV already?
I think so, yeah. Hang on, let me just check that. I want to be... Oh, fuck, I'm going to have to go backwards, haven't I? Dutch Eredivisie. PSV Eindhoven are on... Guess how many points, Craig?
67.
67, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Ajax in second place. Holy shit. Eindhoven in first with 67 points. Ajax in second with 62 points. Feyenoord in third with 47 points.
It's a big old gap.
20 points off the leader.
I think Champions League boys, City will be Spurs, but I know City have to play Spurs, I think, 3 or 4 times within a month. City are unbelievable, don't get me wrong. But I think Spurs may cause an upset, but I don't think in the Champions League.
Yeah, I
think maybe in the league they might.
What's it? Is it 3 times or 4 times they have to play?
I thought it was 4, but I think my dad said it was 3.
I think Spurs will win one of them.
Yeah.
And City will win the others.
But I think City will win 2 in the Champions League, and Spurs might do one for us in the league. Hopefully.
I don't know. Spurs' new stadium open as well. Do you think that will make a difference?
I don't know. See, like, it took them 2 seasons to get used to Wembley, so I don't know how they're going to transition straight away into the stadium, especially with such big games coming up against City.
But I would argue, right, if you look at Wembley, right, there's the running track around it. That causes a big difference. Like, there's a totally different atmosphere when there's the running track around it. But if you look at Spurs' new stadium, which is beautifully called Spurs' new stadium, there's no running track around it. It's tight. It's right in on the pitch. And I think that makes a difference. So not only do you have the crowd force of Wembley bring it in, but you're also tighter. I feel like they'll adapt very quickly and they'll be very good.
I don't know. I'm not too sure. I'll have to say, I think they have their first game, I think, against Leicester. They have a game before City anyways in the new stadium, so
they have Crystal Palace, yeah.
Yeah, Palace. They'll get a run in there, so they'll have a chance to feel the place out. By the way, the stadium's gorgeous. Mm. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I'm looking at it right now.
It's pretty nice. Yeah, I don't know. It depending on the Palace game, I think Palace will be a tough game. Palace are always good against the big sides.
I don't think Spurs will give that up. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
I'm just realizing how much brown this sounds to anyone who doesn't like football.
Yeah. You give them the warning to leave anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. We warned you. If you're thinking, what is this geezer talking about? Stadiums being weird or stadiums making a difference. I mean, just watch a Celtic match in Europe. That's all I have to say to you.
Probably the best atmosphere ever.
Yeah, John Stone said so. Best atmosphere he's played in. There you go.
Speaking of stadiums, I think 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago I was down at Shelbourne Park for Bowls and Shelbourne.
Excuse me, okay. Don't speak the absolute disrespect right now. It's called Talca Park.
Hold on.
Talca Park.
Yeah, get it right. That's how much I care.
Come on.
Right, that's how much I care. But I have to say, the boycott's strong still in Shelbourne. The total attendance was 650, and I have to say, there's probably 500 Bowls fans there. And only 150 Shelbourne fans, even though it was at home for you.
I'm gonna steer this conversation away.
No. I wanna speak on it.
I'm just gonna put a disclaimer in. Me and Craig do not share mutual opinions. All of what Craig says is his own opinion, not mine. Now you can continue.
Who do you support again?
League of Ireland, Shelby.
Well, if you want to check the Twitter, I have a picture of Brogan in a boss half sip, so yeah.
You could. Exposed. You did not. You didn't. Yeah. Oh no.
I will.
Oh my god.
But yeah, we're gonna have to move in soon enough to Inwiches, and to be honest, it's actually a shithole.
It is a shithole. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and deny that it's a shithole, but it is a shithole. Leaky roof.
I don't understand how the two clubs are gonna coexist, because obviously there used to be a rivalry. It's not much a rivalry anymore. Like, if Shelbourne used to be an absolutely smashing team, but since the troubles they had, they've kind of gone down. But don't get me wrong, I do think they have a strong side in the fourth division this year, but I don't know if they'll come up. If anything, Bowes have probably got better since then, especially with the money we're working with. We're working with bleeding shoestrings, like pennies. But I don't know how the coexisting thing's going to work, especially in the new stadium.
I don't think, look at Inter Milan and AC Milan.
Yeah, it's just literally
all
you
have to look at, and you can, like, clubs can coexist. There's not much bigger rivalries than the Milan Derby.
Yeah. Also, it baffles me how Bowles never bought Daily Mount back in the day while they had the chance.
Probably because the council were looking for billions.
Yeah, councils are pagans.
Does the council own it?
Yeah, they own it now, because that's who we're getting it off. As I've said a million times, if I ever win the Euro Millions, I'm buying Daily Mount straight off the council. And I'm refurbishing it. I've said this hundreds of times.
I respect it.
I don't know how the coexistence is going to work. Hopefully, it'll be a good relationship. But if Shells get back up into the Premier Division, I don't know, I might get a bit a bit risky again, but
it's not a rivalry though. Like, the rivalry is between like Bulls and Rovers. Like, everyone knows that's the Dublin Derby. Yeah. Like, obviously it is a local derby, and obviously it's going to be more intense than like Bulls versus Waterford or something, but like, the clubs are too close, right? And it's like obviously they're so close that even look at our skill, it's pretty much split half and half. It would be split, yeah. Bulls and Rovers, or Bulls and Shells. So like, people are coexisting already with not much trouble. So it's not like a Rangers Celtic derby where it's literally two halves of the city.
Yeah.
And like, on match day, if you walk down the wrong street wearing the wrong colours, you will get stabbed. Like,
yeah. But what I'm hoping from the new stadium is, I do hope he's come back up into the Premier Division, because I hope it sparks the rivalry again.
Yeah, that would
because
be good.
Like, on game day, I want to pack out that new stadium. I want to feel the atmosphere. I want a good game. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if I'm just being really optimistic about it.
Like, even when I went to Shelburne matches when they were in Division 1, there was more than 650 people at the games.
And that, like, as a, like, I'm not just saying this as a Bulls fan, but it was kind of, like, I'd be ashamed if I was a Shelts fan. I know it was a cup game, but even at that, for the difference in the amount of fans, like, yous are at home, there's 100-odd people if yous are lucky.
And to be fair, it is, and there was only the Leinster Cup, so it's literally a nothing cup.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, we played our, all of our under-19s, but for the difference in fans, like, the amount, there was 500-odd of us there. I didn't hear, even when you scored, I didn't hear, like, a single soul celebrate. It's kind of saddening to see a club that used to be so great fall so low to what it is now.
It's a sad scene. But, yeah.
We should probably move on, Kate, before you get too sad.
I always said I'm a Celtic and a Man United fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
What Jesus Christ, stutter. Did you see Holland? What's up with Holland lately?
I didn't watch it, no. But I did see Memphis Depay had a game of his life.
I don't know. Like, obviously, they used to be an absolute powerhouse. But then they took a really bad dip. But they've got this,
they didn't even qualify for the World Cup or the last year I was either.
But they've got a big resurgence, and they look very, very strong. Like, I think they're up there as contenders for the World Cup, the Euros.
Yeah, like, literally.
Especially if they keep up the form at the minute.
Yeah, it's mad. I remember in 2010, was that South Africa?
Yeah.
2010, I, in the family draw, I drew New Zealand. Or not New Zealand, fucking the Netherlands, Jesus. And I was so happy they got to the final, then fucking Iniesta.
Yeah, what a goal.
Oh, it's a smashing finish, to be fair. Yeah, what a World Cup. That was a great World Cup.
Yeah, I'll never forget the first goal.
Tchabalala.
I think it was Tchabalala, yeah. What a strike.
Unreal finish. And the fucking havoc that the ball caused.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god. It was beautiful. And Diego Forlan was in his, like, not even his prime, he was a fucking old man, but he was banging goals left, right, and centre.
Banging them.
Oh my god. Just
Miroslav Klose.
Just baller. Unbelievable tournament, I thought. Unbelievable. And the Vuvuzelas, everyone hated them.
I think that's probably one of the best World Cups to date.
It's the best World Cup that I remember. I don't remember... I remember the final of 2006. It was Italy versus France and Zidane got sent off. And I remember Italy won it.
Oh, the headbutt.
Yeah. I don't remember before that, obviously. 2002, Saipan. Obviously don't. Yeah.
Ireland got close in that as well. That was the whole...
That was Keane when Keane went home, yeah.
That was Mick McCarthy, the dope.
Yeah, I suppose. But then what was after that? 2014 was
don't really remember much. That was Brazil, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Brazil. Was standout match, probably Germany versus Brazil. The 7-2. Yeah. I think also another standout was just Messi carrying the team on his own, Argentina. And obviously Goetze's finish was just beautiful.
Yeah. Like, for such, like, as I said already, to me, he's the greatest of all time. It actually hurts me that he doesn't have a World Cup.
I genuinely thought you were talking about Goetze. I was like, that's a bit fair.
Yeah, it hurts me that Messi doesn't have a World Cup, because I think he deserves it. Like, I don't know if he's going to get another. I think he probably has...
Yeah.
If he's lucky, he has one more crack at it. One more, and that's it. Yeah.
2019, and the next one's in 2022.
Yeah.
He's 31? 30?
It's Messi. I can see him dropping into a cam roll, no pace, but still pinging him.
I don't know. I don't think he'll be as good for as long as Ronaldo was.
Yeah, Ronaldo's a bit of a... Like, physically, he's an absolute monster.
Like, you look at Ronaldo, right? And he played his whole life playing left wing. And as he got older and started losing that yard of pace, he's drifted inside and he's now a striker. And he's still amazing. Like, he has some of the best off-the-ball positioning I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, did you see that? I forget what game it was. I think it was just in the league for Barca. For the first, I think, 3 or 4 minutes, Messi didn't touch the ball at all.
Yeah, he just walked around the defence.
He walked around, and in his head, he mapped where every single defender is and what they're doing. Just balled out.
Ridiculous.
What a genius.
Yeah, but shame he couldn't do that against Celtic in 2012. That's all I'll say.
Well, come on. Magical night.
I think it was that night that Charlie Mulgrew proved he's the greatest player of all time.
I think it was.
And that is a hot take. Jeez, we've been recording a minute. So, there you go, Sean. You got your extra.
Yeah, you got like 20 minutes extra, maybe.
Mm. Well, I still have to edit this, so God knows what's going to happen. And again, we'd like to apologise if it's a bit weird during the editing at a certain point. Because, my Wi-Fi decided to die. We should be good. Hopefully it's not too noticeable. But just in case, give us a break. Again, we should be back next week. We plan to be back next week anyway. You're not doing anything, are you?
Not that I know of.
Either am I. So that's a good time. So hopefully, like, we're finishing up, are we? You don't have anything else to talk about, do you?
No, I don't have anything to say.
Okay, good. I guess I'll do the outro, so, yeah.
What?
I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We'd like to thank you for the support. It's really been humbling, and all the words the kind words you've said to us, people who I don't think I've ever talked to in my life coming up to me saying, oh, I listened to your podcast, I really enjoyed it. Like, I had a few primary school mates who I haven't talked to in ages text me saying it was really good. Really, that stuff means the world to me, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, like, the simple things of people just saying, when's the next podcast, it really kind of, like, we're only doing it for, we started as just doing it for the fun of it, but for people to be, like, asking when's the next one, it does give us a lot of encouragement to actually get the ball rolling and knock some more product out, like these podcasts.
Mm.
So thanks for all the support. Also, if you ever have any questions, you just want.
Yeah, that's something I forgot to say. I was thinking, like, I want a way. I don't know how you do this. So if anyone has any suggestions, let me know. But I want a way to, like, have people, like, an easy way for people to ask questions rather than just, like, tweeting us or, like, texting us personally. Like, more of kind of like a, I don't know, Just like
we'll figure something
just
out.
An area to put questions forward and ask us. But for now, if you do have any questions or any topics you want us to talk about as well, just literally just text us. The more topics we have, the better. The more of these podcasts we can do. I don't think we'll run out anytime soon, but we would like to. We want to give people what they want to hear. If you get me.
Yeah. Well, that's all from me.
That's all from me too. Peace.
Hopefully see you next week.
Yeah, peace. Hopefully. Bye. Yupla.